when you have you're in that position, I thought that there was absolutely a rigid practice on a appellate bench, particularly
anybody.
Well, the canons call for this. My goodness, do you think that he was trying to overpower you? I mean, he must have known. If this were...
I'm not sure he did initially, Roger, but he persisted in his insistence that I could sit and nobody would raise the question.
Oh, I see. That is really
embarrassing. See, the suit was in the name of the Board of State Canvassers. As I recall it, we weren't named individually, but it was a suit against the board, and it's entirely conceivable that he wasn't aware that I was a member of the board or had slipped his mind, but ultimately he knew it because I told him, and even in the face of that knowledge he insisted that I could sit, which was manifestly nonsense.
Well, now, in your early period in the court, the two of you shared this office, where your relations such that you could actually sit there and read
verse
on the telephone?
Surely. You know, there was no, there were no secrets, but...
suppose Talbot Smith is going to talk to you about a case.
Well, we'd then go into Talbot's office. You know, obviously, in those circumstances. As a matter of fact, that rarely happened, because when we were in Lansing sharing offices, we were generally either on the bench or in the conference room with the other justices. We used it only as a convenience. His secretary and my secretary would work there during the day. And occasionally I would work there in the evening. Occasionally he would work there in the evening. But I generally stayed with Talbot. Talbot and I would go out to the Kellogg Center, where we would spend the night. So we didn't want to go to the hotels because of legislators and lobbyists and unsavory types like newspaper men and people like that would be there, and it would be an embarrassment to have to say, "I'm sorry, I can't talk with you about this." So we stayed out at Kellogg Center, and he and I did. And
where did you do the substance of your work?
In Detroit.
Where?
At the Detroit College of Law. I had offices. I had two offices in the college. In the law school there, on either side of the doorway. My secretary had one, my law clerk shared that office with her, and I had the other. We had access to the law library, and it was a very convenient place for me to work. Charlie King, who was dean of the law school at that time, called me upon the announcement of my appointment, and he offered me space at the college. And he reminded me that George Edwards had worked at the Wayne Law School Library when he was first appointed to the court, and before he went up to Lansing, before he moved his family to Lansing. And Charlie said, in a very gracious way, that it would be a benefit to the law school. It would grace the law school if I would agree to have my offices there. And it was like an answer to a prayer, because I had planned on either establishing an office in my private home or somehow or another finding an office that would be inexpensive in Detroit. This was free space with a complete law library at my disposal. And it was in an academic setting apart from the legal profession. I wouldn't run into any lawyers, practicing lawyers, or cases before us. I didn't run into legislators or lobbyists. I was in my own world.
I'm uneasy enough, I think I want to make sure that... But, oh, yeah, there's plenty there. But I was just amazed at that.
I've had trouble before. I should have remembered it, and I didn't.
When I went up to talk to Volker, I put this thing down on the little end table near the chair we were sitting. And apparently I put it right under the clock. So you have it. It goes all the way through it, but it doesn't disturb it. It just shows my inexperience, I guess, because I'm doing it. How about Black and his relations with other men in the court? Is it all pretty much the same? I've heard that you were his particular target. Sarcasm, derision, criticism.